Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Oh, we've got a tight Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
Instigators.
Well, we made it down to the KeyBank Center. Sabres tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop here. 6:30 pregame show with Marty and Duffer. I didn't think Marty was going to make it today because the weather outside is frightful. And Gregory made it in. Anthony. Hey, Anthony. Took an hour and a half, eh? Well, then it was, you know, you left at 7:10, but you didn't really leave at 7:10. And then, but you made it. I thought I was doing the show solo today for a little bit.
Yeah, I thought you were going to do the show with Kevin and James, which would have been fantastic.
It actually would have been fantastic. Otherwise, I would have found Lou and just brought a microphone over to Lou Lamoriello.
Why not get Lou and Barry Trotz on the show and just Rivs and I can go and watch practice
live
downstairs
from the coach's office?
That'd
so we
awesome.
Made it. We made it down to the KeyBank Center. Game tonight, and the Islanders are in town. And, I mean, I don't know where to start today, fellas, because we can talk about the game tonight and the importance of it. I thought Pittsburgh Philly game last night was unreal, but Huberdeau's name being tossed around, and I feel like amongst our group, we talk a lot about guys that we would love to see eventually be on this team if there was a deal in place. And Riv, you know a lot about Florida, and you have been talking about Huberdeau for like 4 years now. So
can you call Rivs? Let me ask you this. You're in the business now. You need to get contacts. Can you call?
In the business.
Your cousin?
Yep.
Down in Florida?
And
ask him to go right up to Dale Talon and
try and get something done?
Try to see if he's available or not. If Huberdeau, call Mackenzie Weegar and then see.
You need Mackenzie Weegar to go to Huberdeau and say, hey, Buff's unreal.
Yeah, well, Buff is
a great. Place
Let me
to
tell
play.
You this. Huberdeau, I was shocked. Were you not shocked last night when you heard his name come up in a possible, what was he, 20th on the top 10 TSN list?
He's 20th right now on the trade bait board that TSN, which is Darren Dreger, Frank Saravalli, Bob McKenzie, Pio LeBrun. Bless you, Petey.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I thought maybe you pressed
the
button.
We didn't lose our manners here. We're still buddies.
So, but anyway, here's the thing. I'll tell you this. Do I believe Huberdeau is available? No, I don't. I think where the discussion and where it came from is because both Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky, who now share the same agent, have been linked to a potential trade to Florida, which Florida in return would probably get James Reimer, one of the goaltenders in Florida right now, to go back to Columbus. And apparently one of the asking piece in the trade would have been Jonathan Huberdeau, 25 years old, got contract, got like cost certainty moving
great
forward.
Great contract, too.
Great
by
contract.
The way.
So that's where the conversation goes. And now, if Florida was willing to listen a little bit to and engage in that conversation, now obviously other teams are going to take notice. Other teams are going to call, say, hey, we hear Huberdeau may be available. Or they talk to Dreger and those guys and say, what do you hear about Huberdeau in Florida? Because we hear Columbus may be asking about him. So that's where I think the rumor starts from. Do I think he's available? Everybody's available. Who's not available on the Sabres?
Let me ask you this.
Who's not available on the Sabres right now?
Jack
and Darlene.
Jack and Darlene. That's about it. Somebody calls about Skinner. You don't want to trade Skinner, but you may listen because you don't know what's going to happen with the contract, and you may listen. So I think it's the same situation with Huberdeau in Florida. You will listen, But is he out there really being marketed?
Let me ask my question about Skinner yesterday. Do you want to keep going? Go ahead. Yeah, sorry, stay on Huberto.
I want to ask, like, his name has come up because in order for them, if Sergei Bobrovsky and Artemi Panarin are two guys that maybe Florida is interested in, you got to move out salary.
Yeah, but that's why James Reimer would be a goalie that would come over, so you would be trading Panarin and Bobrovsky's salary and be acquiring some salary at the same time. But Huberdeau's, I mean, what's his contract?
Can I ask you guys a question?
And he's just below a point a game type player for his career.
52 points in 54 games this year. Last year he had 69 points in 82 games. He's been a pretty impressive player throughout his career. There's no
size.
Question.
He's got size.
He's 25 years old too.
Yeah.
I mean it fits.
Why is
well.
Florida like? Maybe I'm just not looking at this properly. Why would Florida do this now?
They're trying to make some different moves right now. So they traded Nick Bjugstad just last couple weeks ago.
He scored last night
with Pittsburgh. A nice little shot. But they're trying to do a change on the fly. Really see an opportunity and acquire big pieces. Goaltending is an issue for Florida. Roberto Luongo, when healthy, can give him some good game. But Roberto Luongo just played in his 1,023rd game or whatever, second all-time behind Marty Brodeur. He's not going to play for many more years. So you
he's got 4 years left on the old contract.
Yeah,
there.
But what's his actually payout? I think it's like $1 million. And you know the worst thing about this, Petey, is if Roberto Luongo...
Listen to this one. This is beautiful.
If Roberto Luongo decides to retire this year, okay, and he still has 3 or 4 years left in his contract, and you do all the math, and you figure out the cap recapture and all of that, who gets to be on the hook for all that money and all the penalties
Vancouver?
On the cap? Vancouver. Yeah. Because they signed them to that contract. So Florida.
So he's shutting it down.
So
hey, boys.
Florida is like, hey, we get Sergei Bobrovsky. Lou, you're more than welcome to retire because we're getting our goalie of the future. You can stick around one more year just to, ride into the sunset. But if you want to go away and retire early, we don't care. Vancouver's going to be penalized with the cap recapture penalties. And
which
Florida's
GM signed that deal? Who was,
was it
that?
Dave Nonis?
Was it Dave Nonis?
I believe it was Dave Nonis back in the days. Signed him to a 12-year monster deal or whatnot. Then Luongo said his contract was terrible because that's why he wasn't getting traded. Nobody wanted to touch it.
Yeah, I remember he said that trade deadline day. He goes, my contract sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But come to find out that really it sucked in a couple of ways because Vancouver didn't want to trade him because they knew they were going to get penalized at some point later in the deal. And two, teams are looking at an aging goaltender that still has 6 years on the contract, right?
7 o'clock tonight, Sabres Islanders on MSG. Marty and Duffer at 6:30 with the pregame show on MSG. Marty, I asked Rib yesterday, I mean, we can just rip right through this if you want to, but just about Jeff Skinner at the deadline, I mean, would you ever... Is it such a risk if you were to, say, trade him for a first-round pick, if you could get that, knowing that you have a deal in place to come back? And
it is a risk. It is a risk because you don't trade Jeff Skinner if you have a deal in place. You don't roll the dice to lose a player because maybe he goes to Team X and does great in the playoffs, and that team's like, we love you, we want to sign you. Or maybe he goes to that team and gets hurt. And now you're like, oh, we're in a situation. Listen, he could get hurt here. He can get hurt anywhere. But if you have close to an agreement, you are signing that player. Rolling the dice on a situation like this is never a good thing. Never.
Take that, Andrew.
You don't like it just a little bit?
Because I'm going to tell you. Because
yes! Thank you.
He sparked me a little bit. Like, we're about...
I don't think it'll happen. Let me just make this clear.
I don't think it's going to happen.
But all I'm saying is, go ahead.
I like where his head's at. Jeff Skinner has never played in a playoff game. If you can sit down with Jeff Skinner and say, listen, do you want to come back here? Yes, I do want to come back here. Okay, here's the deal that's going to be in place for when you come back.
It would only be able to be a 7-year deal, correct, Marty?
It would only be able to be a 7-year deal.
So, okay. So we've already figured how to lure him back here.
We're gonna front load
all of it,
bonus money.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
All right. $20 million a year, but it's not our cash, eh?
It's not our cash.
Definitely. So $40 million in the first calendar year, right?
40, on July 1st, whatever you want.
On July 1st and July 1st next year.
Yes.
Two big bonuses.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So listen, that money goes in the bank and it starts to earn him money that's gonna kind of fill that 8th year, and you say to him, go and play in the playoffs. Go and gain experience. Come back here. We will gain assets by you playing on another team.
That first round pick
let me ask you this.
could be a second or third line right winger.
Have you ever seen the movie Indecent Proposal?
I don't like where this is going.
Where?
Well, I don't know. It kind of works out for everyone.
Woody Harrelson is married with Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And she gets an offer for $1 million. They get an offer for $1 million just for her to spend one night with this rich guy. I think it's Richard Gere, right?
No, it's not Richard Gere. It's the guy from he's the old man with the gun. He's his last movie. It's his last performance on camera, his old man with a gun.
So he basically gives him $1 million. For him to spend one night, like go to dinner, spend a night, I'll return her tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pick her up at 4, return her at 4, whatever.
Robert Redford.
That was the only guy. Thanks,
and
Kelly.
And he's a stud, by the way.
Yeah, like, so that's the other guy I was thinking about.
This is good-looking Robert
so
Redford,
So she goes.
Too.
So what's the problem?
See, she goes, and then then she doesn't return. She doesn't return. Woody Harrelson is chasing. He's going crazy. That whole $1 million for the trade off is looking great in theory, but it completely falls apart, and you're never the same after. Never the same. So that's why I'm saying this is Indecent Proposal hockey style.
Did he still get the $1 million?
He did get the $1 million.
And didn't she go back to him in the end?
I don't know. I didn't watch it till the end. I was frustrated by halftime, and I was like, "No, I think she does." I think she does, but still, it's not the same. Life will never be the same after that. You let Skinner go. You have him. He's happy. You can talk contract. He's playing with Jack. He's not playing with Jack, but he's playing with Jack again. He's doing great. You got him. Don't let him go and enjoy some other team.
That's kind of a great analogy. Great movie analogy.
Jeff Skinner has never played in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity where if there's an agreement on both sides, I understand what you're saying, but it allows him to play in the playoffs. It allows us to acquire some pretty solid picks for Jeff Skinner, which we can utilize instead of just picking these guys and having them mature and it takes 3-4 years, we could probably put packages together to now and acquire certain guys in the league. And I just think that it's certainly an eye-raising.
If the Sabres did not have 3 first-round pick potentially this year and some good young prospect coming through with Rochester and what Jason Botterill was able to do for the Rochester Americans, I'd say I may be tempted to test faith a little bit, to say we're in such a position here that we may have to use our imagination and make something work. Not that you can all, first of all, you can't have a deal in place, trade a guy, and come back. The league would investigate that, and it would have to be done really, really secretly.
How are they going to find out?
Exactly. So they're not going to find out. So you got that covered, Riz.
Listen, when I say deal in place, I mean like a general idea of what the guy's going to be looking for. So I don't know if you
Okay, so Riz, you know, earmuffs with that one. But didn't that happen with Chris Drury? We have a deal in place in camp, and then the year goes by, and then you're like, hey, let's sign that deal that we talked about 6 months ago. Well, that was totally different now.
That was, yeah, but that was, in my opinion, that's yes, it's similar, but it's different timing. I mean, you did that at the start of the year, and you have a deal in place for what the guy did last year, and then this guy goes out and Drury rips it up. He has 19 goals by Christmas. Why would he sign that deal?
Well, the same thing happened in the playoffs. Yeah, he goes out in the playoffs, wins a cup, and scores 20 goals in 27 games in the playoffs. And
well, then isn't he what we thought? Isn't he what we thought he was in the $8 to $9 million range?
That will get you so much more money.
I would be hard-pressed to think that somebody out there would offer Skinner $9 million in free agency.
I think it would happen if he went to a free agent.
You really do?
I think if he...
No way. I'm not... And listen, we're talking about $9 million versus $8 million, and so I don't want anyone to think that
especially
I'm saying
if it's only
that there's a problem.
Deal.
I just don't think somebody would pay
if it's a
$9 million
deal,
for Skinner.
Compared to an 8-year deal, what the Sabres can offer, if it's a 7-year deal and you have to maximize your return within that 7-year, and that may be your one big contract because he's, what, 26?
So don't you think
so
at this point...
So he goes to 33... He's not getting another 7-year deal after that. This is his time to do it. 7-year deal, that would be $63 million if you get $9 million a year. So I could see that. I could see somebody offering him that.
Really?
Yeah, but then again, if the Sabres can offer him 8 years at 8.5, okay? So that's $68 million. So you tell Jeff Skinner, I'm giving you 8 years at 6.5, which is $68 million, or you can try to get 7 years at 9, which is 63. There's a $5 million difference there over the length of your contract. Which one would you take?
Well, that sounds like a lot to me, but I mean, I guess if Botts knows he can fit it in the salary cap, well, then so be it. I mean, because teams now, like, if you look at the salary cap that Pittsburgh won with, you know. They did it with Malkin at 9.5, Crosby at 8.7. Their cap when they signed those deals was a lot lower. But don't you think Jason has a number where the lowest number he thinks he can get him at, and then that max number that he would absolutely pay him regardless of whether he went and ripped it up in the playoffs? I mean, there has to be
a
final number where it's just kind of like, I can't pay this guy after a certain point. I don't want to do it.
No, but these deals get really complicated. Look at the Austin Matthews deal, right? You work bonus money. When are you giving that bonus? Are you giving lockout protection? Because in a couple of years, there could be a potential work stoppage. Are you still paying the guy a $12 million bonus even if you're not playing?
Well, this might
those are all things that you can work around to try to lower
can't
your number.
Can every team offer a guy that, or are there teams that are
no, there's
not?
Teams that can't.
There are teams that can't.
And you know what's funny is that the Toronto Maple Leafs give Austin Matthews that huge deal, 5-year deal, with, what is it, 20-some million dollars in the first 12 months, right? Did 2012-13 lockout. So I was sitting in on a board meeting, and I've got, you know, right across from me is Mr. Jacobs, owner of the Bruins. You've got Gary Bettman, Bill Daly. You've got Brian Burke. And Brian Burke is saying, oh, here in Toronto, we can't afford to give guys big contracts and big bonuses and front-loaded contracts. We just can't. And everybody started laughing on our side. Like Donald Fair, our executive director of the PA, laughed out loud. He goes, you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're one of the richest franchise around. You're telling me you can't give front-loaded contracts. No, I can't. I can't. It won't work in our budget. Here's the word budget. Every team has budget. There's teams that can give you those front-loaded contracts. But there's teams that can't. There's teams that go year to year managing their caps,
yep,
and they have a structure, and they can't do it. Do I think Buffalo can? I mean, it's not my money. So, you know, would Mr. or Mrs. Pegula go in and tell Jeff Skinner, here's, we're going to front-load your contract? I think they would.
So let's say this. Let's say this. Let's say Skinner wants $8.5 million. Botts is prepared to give it to him, but he's missing that playoff experience. You don't think he says, go make the playoffs, and if he does tear it up and he has to pay him another extra $500,000 and $9 million to get there and structure it a certain way to get him back here? I'm still kind of on that. Just
no,
because
I
the
say go.
Getting
I say,
closer.
You know what I say? I say go play in the World Championship. You're going to get high-caliber hockey, playoff atmosphere, win or you're out, win and you're in type situation.
You guys play in the World staying? Championships, Riv? Yeah. Is that the same?
No.
No. I know, but I'm just saying, like, I'm
nice
trying
try,
to,
Marty. Nice try.
I'm trying to find a different avenue. I don't want to see him go. I don't want to say, go ahead, go, go.
Like, Canada didn't even start getting serious until we hit the
quarterfinals.
The quarterfinals. So it was,
there's no curfew for the first 12
brother,
days.
Oh, brother, it was the longest 2 weeks of my life over there.
Ribs and I are roommate, and we're like, hey, what time did you end up falling asleep last night? Well, it was 3. I couldn't sleep. Jet lag. That's the problem.
Yeah,
it's
sure
the jet lag.
Jet lag.
No, I see what you're saying, PD, and I think that's a really fun exercise
that's
to
all
do.
It is. Just fun.
And
just
do
fun.
I think it's reality? No.
No.
But in a fantasy world, why not live in the fantasy world once in a while?
You know what is reality, Marty? Celebrity roasts are a reality, and you've lived that. Danny Gares is
Can't
coming
wait.
Up. February 28th at the Grapevine Banquets. Dave the Hammer Schultz, Rennie Robert, Lou Picone, and Danny's brother, Maury Gare, are amongst the roasters. Get your tickets now on sale at WGR550. And I'll say this before we spin off into the Sabres game against the Islanders tonight. Rivs has already started. Like, we've already put the wheels in motion, Marty, for the Craig Rive roast. We'll call it the Riv Roast.
The Riv Roast.
The Riv Roast.
Not the Riv Roast, but the Riv Roast.
Yep. It'll be fun.
Zero chance of that.
Zero chance.
I disagree.
No.
I disagree.
Zero chance of that happening.
You think it's zero?
I think it's kind of like Skinner being traded and then having a deal in place and coming back.
So you're telling me there's a chance. You're telling me there's a chance. Okay, I'll take those odds. All right, tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, MSG 6:30 pregame show with Marty and Duffer. Islanders in town, been a hot team. Do we know we're going to see a net tonight, first of all, for the Sabres?
I don't know because they haven't started practice yet. Would I venture a guess? Yes. I'd love to venture a guess
because goaltending's been a hot topic. Speaking of which, since Samson's comments last week, whether he meant it or not, Marty, which I believe he didn't mean, I said that right away, goalies have been pretty good.
Yeah, Linus played great. Carter played great. That was awesome. Do I think – I won't touch on Sam's comment because we've beaten it on Friday, and I think he stood in front of the camera and basically owned it, said, I said it. I talked to the guys. It's not the way. It's not
either
what
way,
I meant,
goal,
but I said it.
Either way, the goalies have been better. so it doesn't matter.
I think we will see Linus tonight. That's my personal opinion on it. No, Carter played really well, but I think my preference right now would be to see what Linus has for a few games. He got better as he played the 3 games in a row, right? So he won against Minnesota. It was okay. It was good. He lost to Carolina. Not his fault. There was some wide open goals. Do I wish he would have made maybe one save to make a difference? Yes, but put that aside. But playing 3 games in a row, I wanted to see a progression, and the progression was there. Now, he played the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit is not the Winnipeg Jets. So, their scoring chances were not as, as A++ as some of the Jets' chances. But I would come back with Linus tonight. I would maybe even come back with Linus regardless on Friday against the Rangers and then go into next week and see what we got.
I agree with Marty. I'm just going to go with...
That's easy, eh? That's got to be easy.
I think both goaltenders were sharp. I think you're going to come back with Linus Ullmark tonight, see if he can grab the reins here again and... another big game to keep us in the race.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I'd want to see Hutton. And I'm not arguing. I'm not going to give you an argument. I can't argue against your points. I'm just saying.
No, I see what you're saying.
I'm just saying. I thought he was pretty good against Winnipeg, and I know that Phil Housley made the comment about performance base and the outcome and everything, but. This is your veteran guy.
I know, but you contradict yourself because last week you said that we should be running Ullmark. No, I know.
No, I understand that, and I liked what we saw from Ullmark, but I liked what I saw from Hutton, and I also think these are bigger games, better team. You look at
Which one's been better?
Well, they were both, I guess, up to question mark and up to Sam's that night against Carolina. They were both kind of in question, if you want to. So realistically, it's only really been one game each since that Carolina game. But, I mean, I guess it's safe to say Allmark. I guess it's safe to say.
Then at what point, you know, with 28 games left in the season, I don't know where we are right now, 28 games left in the season that you...
27
games?
Yeah.
At what point do you start to run one goaltender?
I guess as a coach, you always got to kind of have that question mark in your gut. Like, what if Carter Hutton brings that type of game that you've seen him bring at the start of the year or last year when he was helping his team, you know, when they were going through injuries? Like, you just wonder. I always wonder because I never rule against the veteran, I guess. So
one thing
I guess
that teams
you look
do
at the size of this
PD,
game tonight. Yeah.
Coaches, one thing that coaches do sometimes, they'll look players' record against a team, right, and say, okay, what's their record against the team? Well, Hallmark's played three games against the Islanders. He's 2-1, a .199, .931 save percentage. Hutton's played three games against the Islanders. He's 1-1, .232, .910. The numbers are not one way or the other. It's not like, hey, you're 8-1 against the team, and
those aren't all this year. Those are so like that's
over the past years. But yeah. I don't care. Like you look at Carter Hutton against the Winnipeg Jets. He's had really, really good numbers. It's a team that he's played well. He's from Thunder Bay, Ontario. Winnipeg is close. It probably was always a thrill for him to play against the Jets because people were watching back home, or it was in Manitoba so people could go over and watch the game. He's had the Winnipeg Jets number, beat them in Winnipeg earlier this year, played a really good game against them on Sunday. So sometimes coaches will look at
that.
That's
the only reason why Deion Sanders played that World Series against the for the Braves that year, because he batted .600 against the pitcher.
Is it really?
Yeah. Did you ever watch that 30 for 30, Marty? That's right up your alley. The most unbelievable 30 for 30. I just watched it last week.
I don't know that that's the most unbelievable.
Oh.
Because they've got some really good ones out there.
It's pretty unbelievable. The story behind it, you know, he played two games in one day, the baseball and football. Yeah. I mean, anyway. So you're saying it's like pitchers, right?
Batters well, sometimes against you pitchers. Look into it and say, okay, who's had the better record against a team? It doesn't apply in this situation against the Islanders.
I do have a record against the clock, and I'm losing that record. We got to get to break. Instigators, we're live from the KeyBank Center or Keystone Bank if you're Craig Rivet. And we'll be right back. Islanders are in town. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame show. When we come back, we're going to go to the point presented by Jim Stakeout.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rivet.
And Martin Biron, and we're down at the KeyBank Center because the Sabres have a game tonight, and it's 7 o'clock versus the New York Islanders, 6:30 pregame show on MSG, 6 o'clock on WGR 550 with Shope and the Bulldog pregame show, and Rob Ray at 4. So lots to hear from. To the point, presented by Jim Stakeout, and we're going to do that right now because that's what we do on Tuesdays when Marty joins us. Gotta love that open. That's Riv on the guitar, ladies and gentlemen. See, yes. That's what I don't think people understand. When Riv first retired from hockey, I remember I called him one day. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just bought two guitars. I'm like, do you even play? He's like, no.
Have you learned yet?
He's like, but I'm going to learn. And I said, really? He's like, yeah, I just bought two sick guitars, man.
Riv, have you learned yet? Have you learned to play the guitar yet?
Depends on what you consider playing.
Can you play a few chords?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm just learning, right? So I started a few weeks ago, and I pick it up. I try to pick it up almost every day. It doesn't happen. Like, just learn a few things.
Can you play songs? Like, can you sing?
No.
Okay, well.
I can't play song.
I can.
Do you guys want to put a band together?
If we're at the campfire.
Let's have an Instigator
band. The band's back together.
We're at the campfire and you're drinking Wobbly Pops all day, I'm going to sound like a rock star.
Okay. Well, then I hope to be there by the summer so we can join each other.
All right. See you there.
Do you screw up the lyrics like all your buddies to songs?
Absolutely.
I'm not even going there.
All right. Well, let's go to the point presented by Jim Stakeout. All right. So first topic for To the Point presented by Jim Stakeout. More likely to make the playoffs, The Flyers or the Blackhawks? Now, the Flyers got pounded last night 4-1 by Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby had a huge night. Great game.
It's defined pounded. They got I don't know that I can they were unfortunate. A bad call went against them. The Flyers were they had tied the game at 2, I believe. And the referee blew the whistle a little too early, and then the Pens got going. I really wanted Philly
four
to win
one.
That game.
Pittsburgh pounded the Flyers 4-1 last night. And the Hawks play the Bruins tonight, but, it's up to you guys. It's your to the point. So to the point, more likely to make the playoffs, Flyers
this
or Hawks?
This is going
to
make me sick because I got a bet with JR on this. I've got to go with the Hawks. Right now, they're 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. They have 7 wins in a row. And the reality right now is they're 4 points out of a playoff spot, where Philadelphia is 8 points out of a playoff spot. So I think if Chicago continues on the way they're playing, I think they're going to have a really good shot at it.
Wow, with time left on the clock, you can just hear the ticking. We'll just wait for the buzz because you never want to give Marty more time than he needs.
There it is.
Okay, Marty, more likely to make the playoffs, Flyers or Blackhawks? Ready and go.
I'm going to agree with Rivs, and I hope he loses his bet because I think Chicago is has had one heck of a turnaround with Jeremy Colton as a coach. They've got structure, great season out of Kane and Taze, and most importantly is that apparently Corey Crawford is feeling back to normal right now. He wasn't there at the start of the season. They struggled. He came back, played better, then was hurt again in a collision where they suspected a concussion again. But he's feeling back to normal. He could return probably in a few weeks, and maybe that's going to be a boost for them.
Good stuff. And if they make it, Patrick Kane's your league MVP.
Absolutely.
Should the Ducks blow up their roster at the deadline? Old man River thinks they should have fired their coach a while ago.
I'm going to go 100% yes on this. I believe that this roster needs to be revamped. There's a player that I would love in particular, and I would go after Ryan Getzlaf. If you can go and get Ryan Getzlaf, I think that he still has a lot of game left in him. For him to walk in here and be the number two center behind Jack Eichel, I think that that would bode extremely well for the Sabres moving forward.
Man, you are dialed in today. You are dialed right in. Marty, Ducks blow up their roster at the deadline?
They want to. I'm sure they want to. They've got some major issue, and that's why Bob Murray, the general manager, says, I'm going to put on the skates. He hasn't skated in years, and he's going to go back behind the bench and then practice to see what's going on. But who, like, I know, Rivs, you talk about Ryan Getzlaf, but I'm saying, who wants Getzlaf? Who wants Perry? Really? Like, it's just...
I do.
They're bad players right now. They're slow. They're old. Getzlaf's got 36 points in 50 games, but, I don't know.
Wait, so if you could trade for Ryan Getzlaf and somehow manage to send Kyle Oposo in that deal?
Okay, but you're dreaming in a fantasy world today,
I am.
PD.
Sorry.
What's Getzlaf's contract?
I thought you
contract?
Said at the start of the show it's okay to dream, Marty.
It's okay to dream, okay. But also you got to apply it. I mean, Getzlaf's got 2 more years at 8.25. Like, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Okay. What's the problem with that?
Yeah, what's the problem with that?
It's 2 more years at 8.25. I want to give that money to Jeff Skinner and not give it to Ryan Getzlaf.
Well, we should be giving it to Jeff Skinner, too, and we should have another guy like Getzlaf. I think he still has lots of game left in that body. He's getting a little bit older, but 6'4", 225-pound guy that can still can put up the points. Last year he had 61 points. The year before, 73.
Oh, he'd have way more points than that playing on this team.
Absolutely.
You'd have way more points than that.
If I'm looking at the Anaheim Ducks, who would I want on the Anaheim Ducks? Ricard Raquel, probably. He's not having a great season, but who is having a great season in Anaheim? He'd be one, maybe Brendan Montour on D, but they're not going to give up the players that have the biggest value. That's for their organization. So they're trying to pass on the leftovers.
What about Adam Henrik? Does he do anything for you?
Yes. He has 10 goals this year. 5 are on the power play. So is he the type of player that will give me more stability at 5-on-5? I don't know. I don't see him enough. I remember he was really good with the New Jersey Devils, and I liked him there. But the Devils traded for Sammy Vatanen, and traded Henrique to Anaheim. Why? Because the Devils needed help on the back end and could spare a forward because they had Taylor Hall. And, you know, now they have Ishier. So I'm looking at it, and yeah, Adam Henrique maybe. But there's no really there's nobody on Anaheim that looks good to me right now. They're a bad team. They're the worst team in the National Hockey League. They just fired their coach, and the GM says, we have issues. I need to go down and figure it out. It's a poisonous group right now.
Isn't that where you want to go after the most? You want to go after the group that you figure is poison, but there's diamonds in the rough in there.
Ooh, I like that.
Diamonds are forever. Yeah, that's why I let that one breathe, because, I mean, the Sabres are kind of, I don't want to say in that market, but would probably like to take advantage of a vulnerable team like Anaheim. Like, let's say they are tearing it down. They have 3 first-round picks, the Sabres, this year.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you could definitely snag something
off
of...
You want to buy high or buy low? Well, these guys, you're buying low on all their guys right now. So, Rickard Rakell right now has 9 goals in 43 games. Okay? This guy, as far as I'm concerned, is a stud. The last 2 seasons, he had 34, 33 in a 20-goal season in his last 3. This guy is in an environment that stinks right now.
Yep.
And I'll tell you right now, if you want to go and get a stud ball and try and pluck that from Anaheim, he's the guy to go and get.
All right, moving on to the point. Rob Race here said any time between 9 and noon. So I'm... Or he said, wait, 9 or noon worked. That was it, 9 or noon. Well, glad you could squeeze us in, Razor. How should the NHL handle Malkin's slash at Raffle's head?
Suspension.
Suspension.
In a big way.
He has a history of stick work.
I don't know what they're going to do with that. That is an attempt to injure. You've got to be looking at, at least 3 games for something like that.
You know what Malkin said? And I'm going to take a little bit of your time, Riff. Sorry, because the buzzer will go. Malkin says, yeah, it was dirty, but I missed. He said, yeah, it was dirty, but I missed. Well, you didn't miss all that much. You hit him a little bit. Enough that the referee saw that is attempt to injure. That is...
So like, what you're saying
this
is
assault with a deadly weapon.
You were going for it.
You wanted to, but you missed. And you're saying you, yeah, exactly.
Hey, I tried to swing at that pitch,
but I missed. Listen, that is, to me, I would give him at least a game, maybe 2, just because he missed.
I'm so sick of this because he's had suspensions for spearing, butt ending, slashing.
Yes.
Has he? Fines. I apologize. I meant to say
fine. I'd go with 2 games because he did miss. He did not get him, and the guy's fine.
So what does he get if he hits him in the face with a stick?
30.
Wait a minute. Radko Gudas took a swing at someone's head last year in Tampa Bay and got 10.
What was it? What did Duncan Keith get when he fell backwards
6.
And went poof, right over it? And he said...
5 or 6 in the
playoffs, I didn't mean
I think,
to.
Right?
Who was it last time? He said his stick got caught on the glass and he speared him in the face, too. That was 2 years ago.
Nyquist.
Gustav Nyquist.
He speared the guy from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Was it Prosser? Nate Prosser?
I don't remember.
Unbelievable.
So I say if
well, I actually gave him the benefit of the doubt. I thought his elbow got jammed up on the glass. I really did. It's tough, you know. A stick, long stick. Okay, moving on. I guess we've handled that one.
3 games for that.
3 games. Marty, you?
I'm going to say 2.
Okay. Let's move on. We both got answers on that one. Which team needs to make an impactful trade the most at the deadline? Marty, we'll start with you. We're doing To the Point presented by Jim Stakeout. The question is, which team needs to make an impactful trade the most at the deadline?
Oh, boy. That's tough. I think.
Want me to take this one?
No, I'll tell you this. I think if you're Colorado, you need to make a move. You were so good early. You're not waiting for young guys to get better. You've got McKinnon. You got Landeskog. You got, you've got pieces on that team. You got Tyson Barrie. You need to make a move because the West is so close that one player could get you in the playoffs. I think Colorado is the team that needs to make a move.
River? Which team needs to make the most impactful move?
I'm going to flip-flop to the same team that's in the East, and that's the Buffalo Sabres. I feel that we need to make a move.
At the deadline?
We need to try and acquire some higher-end skill, some pieces that are going to make this team better moving it into the future. It may not happen at the deadline. I think that it could happen in the offseason, but I think the Sabres are very much like Colorado, but in the East. They started exceptionally well. They've fallen off because they're a one-line team right now.
Okay.
We need more depth.
Are the San Jose Sharks a true contender? Marty, we'll start with you. No, we won't, Marty. Hold tight. No. River, we'll start with you.
A 100%. They are the real deal. They solidified their defense core with bringing in Erik Karlsson this year. He started off quite slow to begin with, but he's picked himself up into Norris Trophy category. And they have the offense. I mean, the offense with the healthy Joe Thornton. Pavelski just scored his 30th goal the other night. Evander Kane is getting it done. I think he's got 26 now. This is a team that is going to be very, very difficult to play against because they have basically all the pieces.
Marty, you're on the clock. San Jose a true contender?
I think they're only a true contender if they have the right Martin Jones in net. Martin Jones is very streaky, hot and cold. Listen, his last 10 games, okay? So his last four, he has save percentage of 926, 947, 926, 939. Then the three before, 846, 762, 769. The three before that, 917, 964, 947. It's like, it is the wave. It's high, low, high, low. If they get consistent play out of Martin Jones, they are a contender, but I won't put all my chips in that basket.
All I heard was a bunch of numbers. When we come back,
9-12, 9-14.
Rob Ray, speaking of numbers, the only number that matters, number 32, and also number 37, Casey Mittelstadt reports that he left the ice early from morning skate. We'll keep you updated on that. Right here from the KeyBank Center, Andrew Craig, Marty, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
Welcome back to the Instigators as Rivs is looking through his notes and doesn't have his headset on. It is time for This or That, Rivs, and we have Rob Ray on set as well. So, yep. Razor, thanks for coming by.
No, thank you.
I'm glad you cleaned up your little workspace over in front of you right here. You know, he's not going to talk to me. He's not allowed to talk to me until we go in our pregame meal segment tonight.
Is that true, Rob?
No, I like Marty.
Okay.
So, yes!
Yeah. Well, a couple updates before we go
into...
Is there
any way of you turning down Marty in my ear?
Yeah. Couple updates before we go into This or That. Casey Mittelstadt left the ice during morning skate, and Zach Bogosian was not on the ice. Now, you made myself louder here. So, and Cutter Hutton still on the ice. Linus Olmark was the first goalie off, so... You got to assume Linus are going to play tonight. So, anyway, here's a This or That for you boys. According to Darren Dreger, the Ottawa Senators are ready to part ways with all three of their big guys that are coming up with contracts. They're in the trade talks. Matt Duchene, Mark Stone, and Ryan Dzingel. Let's put Dzingel aside because he's not like the other two. Who would you want, This or That, Matt Duchene or Mark Stone? And just jump in whenever you want so Razor can fill.
Dzingel.
No, we're not talking Dzingel. This or that, Stone or Duchene?
I would go Duchene. I think that, you know, he obviously fits our need of a second-line center. He's
I'm not talking about the Sabres. Who would you want?
What is he going to do, take him home and put him in his garage?
If he wants to.
Who's he speaking for the team
if
here?
If he's a GM, if he's the GM of any team. And
what
both
is he going to make?
Well, you both have to sign him.
Who's going to make more?
Duchene's going to make more.
Really?
I think so.
I think they're
both going to be
very similar. I would probably put them up anywhere between $8.5 and $9.5 million for both of them.
Oof.
So you're putting him in Skinner's category?
Without question. Yeah.
So who would you, so you said you want Duchesne. Razor, who would you want, Duchesne or Stone?
I think I would take Duchesne as well because of the speed factor. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something you're trying to build, and that's the game now. Every team out there is fast. And I just think Stone may hit a wall sooner than.
Is that a pun?
Did you do that on purpose?
No.
Stone may hit a wall?
No. And I just think that Duchesne's got a little more time to keep that tempo up.
Petey.
Yes. Duchesne.
Okay, good. We'll move on. The Canadiens made a couple trades. They acquired Dale Weiss a few days ago, and yesterday acquired Nate Thompson from the LA Kings. So who will have the better impact or the biggest impact on the Montreal Canadiens, Weiss or Thompson?
Nate Thompson.
Thompson, definitely.
I had Nate Thompson lined up. He was in such a vulnerable spot in the neutral zone when he was in Tampa Bay, and we collided. He didn't go anywhere. The guy is he's like a fire hydrant, but bigger and stronger.
Yeah, he's stocky. He's, you know.
And he plays hard, and he doesn't take a lot of penalties.
Nope. No.
Like, he just plays the game very hard, very simple, has good skill.
You're not going to get a lot of goals.
And he's going to play in adequate any situation speed. In any line, too. Yeah.
Adequate speed, and he brings a physical element. Yeah, I like Nate Thompson.
More versatile. He can play all over the board.
Rivs?
I'm going to say Nate Thompson, too. I think that's exactly what Montreal needs. You know, you're going to bring in a little bit of leadership. I think he's going to play the game the right way. He's going to be a good penalty killer, some physicality. And I think that's needed in the Montreal lineup.
They've got some sandpaper there now, huh?
Yep. Like, well, Delorier, yep. Thompson, and Weiss. Like, they're not going to all three play at the same time.
Max Domi plays hard. I mean, they have some.
Andrew Shaw just came back.
Yep. They have some gritty players. I mean,
they're not big, so I think they got to kind of play that way. Like an not a beat you up, run you through the wall, but an in-your-face, you know, really making it difficult on your pressure all over the place and not turn away.
And this is definitely
going to frustrate the heck out of a lot of teams.
And that's definitely like a playoff-type deal. Like over 82 games, you can stay a little smaller and use speed, but when you get in the playoffs, you may need a little bit of that muscle. Okay, so on March 1st, I believe it is, against the Pittsburgh Penguins, I'm going to be shaving my head for Bald for Bucks here like we did last year on the telecast that night.
Basically, so all you're saying is just the top?
Well, here's what I'm asking. Should Razor or Duffer shave my head? This or
I'm
that?
I'm not touching you.
Why not?
No, because you got this love affair with Duffer. The two of you do that stuff all the time anyway, so why bring it up?
Well, you don't want to shave your head, so why don't you take part of the action? And
I'll shave you with an axe, Marty.
Yeah, you will. I'm not even surprised. You were so on fire last game.
Okay, axe, chainsaw. Hey, buddy, here I am. I wonder how long you'd stick around.
All right,
I think Duffer would be much more gentle, and I think it would be better off for you.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
Just shave the top off like a loop.
Yeah.
Like, just... Like, honestly,
this is not like make fun of Marty for Bucks. It's Bald for Bucks. So,
yeah.
You know, it's still got to look somewhat okay for
Marty,
our show.
We've seen you with your head shaved. It doesn't look okay.
Well, it looks good.
You're
I
just
like
a
it.
Good person.
I'm just a good person. Okay. Well, Aaron, this or that? Or yes or no? Should Razor shave his head? Yes or no?
No.
This or that? I'm not asking you, Razor. I'm asking Ribs and Petey.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say no.
Why not?
Because it's thinning out as it is, and he wants to keep that hair as long as he can.
I'm going bald all on my own, okay?
You don't need to do it for Bucks.
it's going.
Yes, you should.
I've shaved my head once. I don't know, you guys are probably the same way.
I think
way.
You
when
would
we
look
were
good
kids,
with a shaved head.
My dad used to drag me downtown to the barber shop. There was only like six shops in town. One of them was a barber shop, one was a liquor store, one was a convenience store, the bank, and a gas station. That's what you had. Drag you down, put you in the chair. The guy would go, how do you want it? And it was all gone. He went back a month later, got it done again. So, no.
No.
And over time, I've added some bumps and bruises and scars. And
I think you should shave your head and grow a beard.
So, no.
It'd be amazing.
Should we do this,
PD? I'd love to grow a beard like you. Especially the gray.
I've seen you with a beard. You used to grow it before you went to, was it Alaska?
Yeah.
You need to grow that again. Maybe
should he grow the mullet again? Should
my
Razor
kids,
go
I'm
mullet
to
for
all
Bucks?
My kids on our team to grow mullets.
Mullet for Bucks with Rob Ray.
Because we go play all the Canadian kids, and they just get whooped by these Canadian kids, and we're convincing them that it's all because of the mullet.
The mullet's for money, Marty.
Flow. Flow for bucks. Razor, you need to start growing the mullet. I've seen pictures of Razor with the mullet, and
yeah,
it looks
goes
fantastic.
Really curly. It's long.
I know.
It's nice. It was cool.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was. No.
Yeah.
How many, like, how did guys actually look at guys and be like, that's what I want. I want that. I want, I want party on the back, business on top, or whatever. Business on top, party
like dollar bill holder. Remember him? He used to have it real long on top and the spiky on top.
Did you have the box? Did you have the box cut on top, dude? No. Did you have the spikes?
The spikes.
Oh, I never had the spikes.
He was shaved on top, party in the back, and that was it.
Wendell Clark had one.
Yeah. Ally Frady.
Ally Frady. He had the skullet. He had a skullet.
Yeah. He still does, kind of.
Does he?
Yeah.
Peter Forsberg had the mullet when
Peter
he came in.
Peter Zezel had a hell of a mullet.
Yeah. Those guys were all – Wayne Gretzky had the long hair for a while, too. So that was good. But anyway, we got to wrap it up because, Razor, are you staying for a little bit here? Because I got to go downstairs. I'm going to get yelled at if I'm not downstairs.
I'll stay if you leave.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave. Razor's going to stay. Petey's got the update and a lot more here on The Instigator on WGR 550 and MSG. Thanks for stopping by for This or That, Razor.
Thank you, Marty. Thanks for running things.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.